today on Living on Every Word.
Join with me in suffering for the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. He saved us, He delivered us, He took us out of darkness, and then He put a call on your life and my life. You have a calling on your life, my friends.
If you've ever served on a volunteer fire department, you know what it's like when you get the call. You drop everything and respond immediately to that call. Did you know that with salvation there is also a call? Today, Pastor Mike Fritcher explains what we are called to in part one of Embracing Our Call.
Living on every word.
If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 5, I think. I got to look at my glasses here, okay? Verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it's in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, His prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. I want you to notice what Paul says to this young pastor, this young man named Timothy. And when you notice that he's speaking this to Timothy, know that he is also speaking this to you and to me. I want to key in this morning on what Paul said to Timothy when he said that he saved us and he called us. Very important. He says, who saved us and he called us, verse 9, with a holy calling. He called us to Himself. He saved us. He delivered us. He took us out of bondage. He took us out of darkness. And then He put a call on your life and my life. Saved and called. Matter of fact, if you're in Christ today, you've got a calling on your life. God has called you. He has invited you. Matter of fact, He says, listen, there's a couple of things you need to know about your faith. First of all, He says to Timothy, I'm serving God night and day. I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, the genuine faith, the authentic faith. I saw it in your grandmother Lois. I see it in your mother Eunice, and I'm sure that it's in you as well. And also, Timothy, you have the gift of God in you. When you came to Christ, you got the Holy Spirit of the living God. And the gift that came upon you upon the laying of my hands, he says. I know that's in you and you need to kindle it afresh because you don't have the spirit of timidity, but you have a spirit of power, love, and discipline. He goes on and he says, listen, he saved us and he called us. You have a calling on your life, my friends. It's a call of God. We think about the call of God, and most of us grow up thinking the call of God is some kind of vocational thing that you're to pursue. But I tell you, it's not. You've all got it. If you're in Christ, you have a call in your life. You have a call to ministry. You have a call to service. When Christ came, we see this call in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. We see the call of God to follow Christ. Notice on the screen, as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets, and they followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. The call that you and I have is to follow Christ. You know, what it means is that we're called to be like Christ in this world. We're to follow His example, to be like Him in all of our behavior. It's the calling of God to holiness. It's the calling of God to ministry, because He says, listen, you're a fisher of fish. Now you're going to be a fisher of men. You're going to be affecting the lives of people. You're going to be affecting the lives of folks. That's what I'm calling you to. Follow me, and when you follow me, I'll make you become fishers of men. And that's not just for the 12. That's for you and me. We're all called to it. It's not just my calling, it's your calling. Matter of fact, this calling is an invitation to just that. It's an invitation to follow Christ. It's an invitation to be His witness. Turn to another apostle's calling, Acts chapter 26, if you would. Acts chapter 26. You find the call of God in Paul's life. He is sharing his testimony before a king. And he thought to himself, as he quotes, that I had to do many things hostile to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And that's just what I did in Jerusalem. Not only did I lock up many of the saints in prisons, having received authority from the chief priests, but also when they were being put to death, I cast my vote against them. And as I punished them, often in all the synagogues, I tried to force them to blaspheme. And being furiously enraged at them, I kept pursuing them even to foreign cities. Notice, I thought I was to do something hostile to the name of Christ. Matter of fact, he goes on and he says, I was enraged. I was furiously enraged at these people who called on the name of Christ. Furiously enraged that this man, Jesus Christ, would come and, quote, destroy all that I've ever lived for and all that I've ever dreamed of as a Jew. And that's what's his mind. Here is a man following after Christians like you and me to kill them, to destroy them, to take their life away, to stamp out the message of Christ. That was his call. That was his purpose that he felt. He said he felt like he had to do hostile things against this name, the name of Jesus of Nazareth. You talk about a man walking one way, and then all of a sudden, while so engaged, verse 12, as I was journeying to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining all around me, and those who were journeying with me. And when we had fallen to the ground, I heard the voice, a voice saying to me in the Hebrew dialect, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And I said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. But you get up, stand on your feet, for this purpose I've appeared to you. Oh, I thought I had a purpose. That was to destroy your name. To live my life the way I thought I needed to live my life. No, get on your feet, because this is the purpose I've appeared to you. Now watch this. To appoint you a minister and a witness, not only to the things which you have seen, but also to the things in which I'll appear to you. And I'll rescue you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles to whom I'm sending you to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, and that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and an inheritance amongst those who have been sanctified by faith in me. So, King Agrippa, I did not prove disobedient to the heavenly vision. I don't think any of us in this place saw a great light, heard a voice. I would tell you that Paul's call is the same call for you and for me. It may look different. It may have a different result, a different work, but it's the same call. He's appeared to you so that you and I might declare what we are witnesses of, what we have seen and what we have heard about our great God and what He has done and what He is doing in our lives. We are to proclaim the work of God in this life.
We are to proclaim it to the lost. We are to proclaim it to the weak. We are to proclaim it to the sick. We are to proclaim it to those in need. We are to proclaim it to those who think they have no need. We are to proclaim the work and the life of God in our lives and in this world. It's an invitation. It's an invitation to proclamation. And you don't have to have 3 years of seminary to do it. Matter of fact, when you look at the Scripture, they start following Jesus and they start becoming like Jesus, and immediately God starts to equip them to do the work that He's calling them to do. You don't wait. You have the call of God on your life. It's an invitation. God has invited you. God has invited me. He has invited us to Him. But it's not only the call of God, it becomes the call of man in his need. What do I mean by that? I mean, when I look at the needs of men and I look at the needs of women, it becomes the call of God in my life to be a part of helping meet that need and getting those folks where they need to be in Christ. And we've been invited. We've been invited individually, and we've been invited corporately as the body of Christ. Is that not right? When we see the call of God, we see the call of man. We see our own need. You know, there's a couple of things about the call of man. The one that I want to look at right now is Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Now, Paul is on his second missionary journey. The Scripture says that they're heading through Lystra and Derbe. And verse 6 says that they passed through Phrygian and the Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Now, they're in Asia Minor. And after they came to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. And passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. Now, this is real interesting. They're on a journey, and God's saying, don't go there, and don't go there. That's very important. Because I know that in our zeal and in our call, sometimes we'll go to places that God hadn't called us to go to. And we fall flat on our faces. The Spirit of Jesus is not allowing us to do this. And then they came to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Not to Asia, not to Bithynia, but to Macedonia. We call this the Macedonian call. It's the invitation that a man might say to you, or a woman might say to you, come over and help us. Come over and help us. It's the call of your neighbor who's struggling and hurting. Come over and help us. Sometimes we don't hear those words, but we see the need. And you have an opportunity to see the need or hear the call, an opportunity to say, God, are you forbidding me to go to Asia? Are you forbidding me to go to Bithynia? Because all of us ought to be saying yes to Him. And instead of saying, oh, should I go or shouldn't I go? It should all be, yes, we should go, until the Holy Spirit says no, or the Spirit of Jesus does not permit us. Wouldn't that be great? You know, I think about this passage of Scripture, and these guys, they have their yes on the altar. They're going to places. They're on this missionary journey, and they're trying to get into Asia, and they're trying to get into Bithynia. And the Spirit of Jesus is saying, no, because I have this for you right now. I have this for you right now. It's me. I'm available. Here am I. Send me. Send me. And then we hear the Spirit say no. Instead, we've got it the other way around. We want to hear God say, go. Well, I'll tell you, God has already said, go. On your way to wherever you're going, you're to make disciples. You're to be the witness. The call of God, come over and help us. Sometimes we don't hear, come over and help us. Sometimes there's not a written invitation. Come over and help us. Sometimes we just see the need. And prompted in our heart by the need, we go. We see this, I believe, in Matthew 25 at the great judgment, when He is separating the sheep from the goats. And when Jesus speaks to the sheep,
He says to them in verse 34, the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Verse 35, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. A stranger, you invited me in. Naked, you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me, and the righteous will answer him. It's almost like, everybody look at it. It's almost like they're scratching their head and they're saying, wait a minute, we never saw you sick and we never saw you hungry and we never saw you naked. Jesus, we never saw you like this and we never heard you say, come help me. And Jesus says, behold, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. Come help us. Sometimes we hear it. The neighbor says, come help me. I need help. But I tell you, most of the time, it's something you got to see with your eyes. You got to hear with your heart. You see the need and you respond. And the Bible says when you do it to the least of these and you respond to that kind of call, guess who you're responding to? You're responding to Jesus Christ. Every second Wednesday, I get to preach to 200, 300 prisoners. And I always like to think, today I get to go visit Jesus because I go to the least of these, my brethren. The least of these. He says, when you did that, when you responded to that call, the call of man, you came and you did it to me. You did it for me. You provided for my need. You ministered to me. Yesterday, I felt like I was having this conversation with God. And I thought about the priests who just, all they do is minister to God. And I was thinking about it in those terms, to God, how do I minister to you? And guess what? I'm reading a passage that says, when you minister to the least of these, my brethren, you're ministering to me, my son. You want to minister to God? Find the least of these. They're not far from you. You see them every single day of your life. Every single day of your life. Where there's this opportunity that you and I have to be a witness. It's the call to man. It's the call of God to see the need of God met in their lives. Come, meet our needs. Come, help us. It's the call of God that confronts us with the human need. And it's the call of man that begs us to be authentic in our faith, to be authentic witnesses so that we might truly lead the way. It's a call for authentic, genuine believers who truly love well and desire to be used of God. And the only way that happens is by you being transformed. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 on the screen. I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. If you were to continue to read Romans chapter 12, he'll go right into the gifts and say, you have gifts, body. You want to talk about worship? Your worship is operating out of the gifts that God has given to you to serve God and to serve man. Some of you have been called to teach. Some of you have been called to exhort. Some of you have been called to serve. Wherever you need me, God, I'll serve. Some of you have been called to lead. Some of you have been called to give. We're all a part. I believe Peter said it in a different kind of way. Because when you're transformed, with this transformation comes the responsibility, and that responsibility is the call to service. The call of God, the call of man, the call to transformation, and the call to service. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose. Because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, in your body, no longer for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For the time already is past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desires of the Gentiles. You've pursued a course of sensuality. You've pursued a course of lusts, of drunkenness, of carousing, of drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. And in all this, they're now surprised that you don't run with them in the same excesses of dissipation. And they malign you now. But they're going to give an account to Him who's ready to judge the living and the dead. For the gospel has for this purpose been preached, even to those who are dead, that though they are judged in the flesh as men, they may live in the Spirit according to the will of God. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment, sober spirit for the purpose of prayer, and above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. And as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do as one who is speaking the utterances of God, and whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. I believe that what Peter is saying is the same thing in Romans chapter 12. There's a transformation that comes out of your life so that you might be this authentic witness, so that you might take the gifts that God has given to you and in those gifts employ them to serve one another. It's a life of service. The reason why so many people who call themselves Christians are still in their sin and they're weak and they're anemic and they can't move on to the next thing, and all they can do is just to get up on a Sunday and get to church on an occasion and that's it. It's because they do not realize, and maybe you're one of them, that there's a call of God on your life to service that comes out of this vibrant, ongoing relationship with Jesus Christ. Some of you need to get busy. Now, some of us who are busy need to get unbusy. So there's another ditch there, okay? So please hear what I'm saying. It's according to His power, according to His transformation work. You are no longer the people that you were in this world. We are now saints of the living God. We've been called out of darkness into His marvelous light, that we might proclaim the excellencies of Him who did this, Him who called us out of these things. We got to get busy proclaiming. And I guess the question that I would ask today as we close this morning: have you heard the call of God? Have you heard the invitation? You may not be called to go on a trip, and you may not be called to go across the way, but I'm going to tell you, you're called to something. You're called to something. And then as each one has been given this gift, whether it's in your giving or your serving, you employ it by loving one another, by saying yes to the call of God. You may never get paid for it. You may never be acknowledged for it. But God says employ it. It's the call to service. We're talking about a lifestyle that goes from Sunday to Sunday, 24/7. Here I am, Lord. I'm reporting I'm on call today. I'm on call. Whatever you've called me to, I'm saying yes to. And Father, I'm heading on, and you're going to have to say, nope, stop, don't do that. Stop, don't do that. It's a call to service. Whether you give or whether you serve. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? Are you following Christ today? Or are you following your flesh? Is there a transformation that's taking place in your life today by which you're being transformed from glory to glory? Is there a vibrant relationship with God today where you just know, you just sense the favor and affirmation of God? Do you know that God wants to affirm you? Because He does affirm you. Do you know that He wants to favor you? Because He does favor you. That you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. That this call of God It's not just God just throwing you out to the wolves, but He's calling you with power. And He's calling you to equip you with might, because He's already gifted you if you're in Christ. Will you heed to this call? To this call of God in your life? You know, there's some great opportunities right here to serve God. I mean, first of all, just in your church family, there's a great need. There's a great need for children's workers and youth workers. There's a great need for men and women to just to come alongside others who are hurting and struggling. There's a great need that God's invited us to overseas. You know, what's amazing is as we come back from these trips and we realize that it wasn't them that necessarily was changed, it was us that was changed. It was us who found God in a new, fresh way. You've been called. Are you answering the Macedonia call today? The call of God, the call of man, the call to transformation, the call to service. You may be here today and say, you know what? I've sensed this. I know what you're saying, but I just don't know where. Come see me. Let's go have coffee. Let's go have lunch. Let's talk about it. Let's find where you're supposed to be. Would you put your yes there? Would you say yes to Him today? Right now. Yes. I'm available, God. Father, I praise You for the availability of the body, and I look forward to its results. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's stand together. We'll sing our hymn of invitation. You respond however God might have you respond.
The time is now. The word is clear. The Lord is true. His Spirit's here. The Father seeks some soul to bless. The time is come to just say yes. Just say yes to the Father. Just say yes to the Son. Just say yes to the Spirit. The time has come. Just say yes to the Father. Just say yes to the Son. Just say yes to the Spirit. The time has come. The time is now to make a choice, to listen for that still small voice. The Father seeks His will to bless. The time is come to just say yes. Just say yes to the Father. Just say yes to the Son. Just say yes to the Spirit. The time has come. Just say yes to the Father. Just say yes to the Son. Just say yes to the Spirit. The time has come.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com.